I have hope for the first time that, like, my big feelings and my, like, deep pain aren't the enemy, but that I can live, like, a beautiful life, and I can choose virtue, and there's grace to overcome, you know, choosing in the moment how to respond.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Jenna.
How are you?
So good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I tell you a little story about Mary back there?
Please do. This statue of Our Lady. If you're watching on video, you know what I'm talking about.
I-Y-K-Y-K. Did I say it right?
I don't think people actually say it out loud. I think it's something you only read.
I think I said too many K's.
Wait.
I-Y-K.
Yep.
Y-K.
You got it, guys. The first time. You got it.
High five.
So cool, Jenna. Whoa.
Okay, so there's a statue of Our Lady.
Yeah.
And statues are really dangerous around toddlers. I-Y-K-Y-K.
Yeah, wow. That was better.
I'm going to say it the whole episode.
It was more
this
cash.
This episode is going to be called, you know, I-Y-K-I-K. I said it wrong.
That's all right. That's okay.
Good one, Beth.
Thank you.
Okay, so every 2 minutes, we would find my toddler, Avila, climbing up onto that little table that Mary sits on and just embracing Our Lady.
Stop. First of all, that's not a big table.
No, it's a tiny table just for a statue.
And there's a plant there.
But she makes room. Well, the plant, the vase that was there, if you guys recognize, that's a different vase because the other one did shatter.
No.
From Avila climbing up there.
No.
Pieces everywhere. So I've just been petrified.
Well, sure.
That it's not going to be the vase next time. It's going to be Mary.
Well, how did she get this in her mind?
That's I don't what I know. Know. She just climbs on the stairs, found a table, and just needed to hold and embrace Mary.
It's actually very consoling to hug a statue. I know that might sound a little crazy. But
do you
know,
hug statues, BD?
I do sometimes. It all began.
You only hug the snuggle Mary. What are they called?
Hugs from heaven.
Hugs from heaven.
I don't have Mary, actually. I gave Mary to Gabby for her birthday, but I have Jesus.
Well, good thing Beth's birthday is coming up.
Oh,
everyone
don't,
better send
don't
her
make
a
me
hugs
cry.
From heaven. Do they have more than Mary and Jesus?
I don't think so. But oh. I many a times have thought, wish I had a Hugs from Heaven Mary.
This is not sponsored, but it should be.
I know.
Also, you guys should make more saints.
I love them.
Yes.
One time. Anyway, I'm not going to tell that.
No,
sorry.
Tell us. Tell us.
Okay, I don't have laundry at my house, though I have my laundry sent out, which sounds
she
like.
She has laundry. She doesn't have a washer and dryer.
Yes, I have actual.
She
I
has
have
dirty
clothing.
Clothes.
Yes, yes,
she's
yes.
wearing them and she
I
washes them.
I don't have
them.
Laundry facilities where I live.
It's called a washer and dryer.
Okay, whatever.
Or a river. If we're.
I don't have a river nearby. We live in Arizona. Come on. This is a technicality. We're getting caught up on technicalities.
Or what else? A well? What else do they use to wash
things? I don't have a well nearby either. I am really feeling my own poverty in this conversation. Point being, I don't have a washer dryer.
Yeah.
But I did discover that you can have your laundry like picked up, sent out, you know? Again, sounds very fancy, isn't really, because it's like not on my time and it's hard. Anyway, sometimes it's a challenge. But I mean, I'd had this Jesus and I sleep with him. This Hugs from Heaven
Hugs
Jesus.
Hugs from Heaven, yeah.
I sleep with him every night and I'm talking. We're real just snuggly,
yeah.
You know? So he's all cotton. It's like all, he's plush.
So you washed him.
So one time I put him in my laundry going out.
Yeah.
And you know, I have this.
You're
thing,
evangelizing
like,
to the gal who helps you with your laundry.
They just must be like, what?
They're
is
like, this lady has children in here.
I mean, but they know that I don't because oh. It's only adult clothes all the time. Like, they're like, what is this stuffed animal of a man, stuffed man doing?
They know it's Jesus.
I hope so. I mean, he's wearing a robe. He has long, dark hair. He has a little red embroidered heart on his chest.
Sweetie.
Yes. Anyway, I'm just saying, snuggling Jesus and Mary is real. It's real. And Avila is a true contemplative at heart. Or maybe that's Franciscan, where it's like more tangible. Anyway, I was just telling a friend the other day this story. I had this like profound grace in the Holy Land. But the first time I went, which was in 2013.
Yeah, not with me.
I had many profound graces in 2023 in the Holy Land. I mean, I thank God for it every day, truly. Who gets to go to the Holy Land with their best friends?
It's
insane.
Thanking God every day for the Holy Land.
Oh, I just want to tell you so many things, but I'm going to stay on track.
Okay. Buckle up.
2013, I was in the cave in Shepherd's Field celebrating Mass. I wasn't celebrating Mass. I was attending Mass.
Yeah.
And at the end of Mass, because this is like Bethlehem, it's like Christmas vibes everywhere. On the altar, there's like a little statue of baby Jesus, but like kind of life-size baby statue.
Okay.
And he's like laying in a little.
This is where the traumatic picture happened.
Traumatic?
Yeah. With the backpack?
No, that's a different story for another day.
No, but this is the same place.
No. So that's the
cave. Even though I've been to the Holy Land, I still have no idea of where anything is.
Listen, we didn't go there.
Oh,
this
got
was
it.
Shepherd's Field. We did not go there.
I thought that was the Nativity.
No, that's Church of the Nativity. And let me tell you something. We went in, we came out.
Do you see where
out.
My confusion lies?
Yeah, well, it's confusing. We didn't do a lot of sightseeing in Bethlehem that day. There was a lot happening that day.
That's terrifying.
Point being, at the end of this Mass, I went up and my mom's like, let me take a picture of you next to this little baby Jesus. And I was like, okay. And I like put my hand on his little head, like on the altar, which is like not up in a sanctuary. It's like literally in a cave, you know? And I just like touched his little head. And after she took the picture and she's like, whatever, looking at her camera, walking away, I leaned down and I kissed baby Jesus's head.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to absolutely bawl. Like, it was immediate, this like overwhelming joy. I'd never experienced this before. I could not stop crying for joy. And so I like went over to the side like of the cave and I'm like, you know what you do. I'm like rearranging my backpack, hoping no one will see me, just bawling, you know? And this woman came up and was like, can I comfort you? And I was like, I'm happy. And I was like sobbing. Anyway, she spoke like a very beautiful word to me about new beginnings. And anyway, so I'm just saying,
wow.
I think that this is very deep. Statues, images, you know, I don't even want to get into the conversation about worship or whatever.
Sure.
And people misunderstanding this. It's just love. It's just a form of affection and devotion for our Lord. And it was an instrument of like a profound grace in my life in the Holy Land.
Wow.
And I think that's what's happening with Avila.
Whenever my kids are crying from like joy, they say it's happy tears.
Stop.
It's very sweet.
One time Gabby said that to me in the car.
Yeah.
She was crying in the back seat. I was like, Gabs, what's wrong? They're happy tears. I was like, what? The purity of your children that they can even cry happy tears? We went to Peter Piper Pizza. That's what she was crying about, friend. It was the most beautiful thing. I cried about it
later.
Peter
Piper is joyful. It's a little chaotic.
I just want to pray for that for all of us. I mean, totally serious. Like,
yeah.
I want some happy tears, some tears of joy, gift of tears in 2024, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Like, I want to receive the beauty of our life and be present enough in the moment and soft enough in the moment to receive these like beautiful graces that we just like cry because we're happy. What? I have noticed a shift actually. I'm doing a lot of talking on this podcast.
I love that. I'm just enjoying my coffee. I'm sure this gal is too.
I would love some coffee now, but I'm doing too much talking to drink. Listen, I have noticed that I am crying more tears in Mass of joy and gratitude than of like pain and supplication. You know what I mean?
Googling.
Supplication, like asking the Lord for things, like wanting.
Why are you laughing?
Googling? Are you joking? Are we saying that now?
I have to Google it later.
Googling. Stop. Anyway, look,
you knew what I meant.
I did. It was very funny though. Honestly, it was very funny. So I've just been, I've been thanking God for that grace that I feel like there's a deeper, more solid. our relationship is more one of, I feel like the scales have shifted, you know? And instead of me like crying because I'm in pain or because like, I'm like, yeah, because I'm in pain and I'm like asking God for something and I like need help or relief or comfort. Now I'm just like, I can't believe you're real. I love you so much. I can't believe you did that for me. Just joy, you know? And I keep having a moment like that moment in the Shepherd's Field that like if people saw me, they probably think I'm like really going through it, but I just like, they're like tears of love, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you want to talk about, Jenna? Let me get some coffee. Have you cried any tears of joy lately?
No, it's funny. I was talking to Beth the other day and I was like, I did this really silly thing. I sent the wrong email to the wrong person with this like information that didn't need to be sent to this person because it was the wrong person. Anyway, I felt so bad. And Beth said to me, you're managing a lot of things. Was it people?
A lot of people.
You're managing a lot of people. And I said to Beth, if I think about that hard enough, I'll just start crying. So I'm over here just trying to, I'm guardrailing the dam. My dam walls are up.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying.
What am I saying? How do I say that?
You're trying to keep the tears at bay.
Totally. If yeah. I cry any tears of joy, everything's coming out.
You're trying to manage tears and people.
I'm managing a lot inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. You know?
Oh my gosh. I was listening to this talk earlier today.
Yeah.
And this guy said, you know, I'm a melancholic and an introvert.
What?
Yeah. He basically said like, he feels a lot of things and like his wounds go really deep because of that.
I'm reading a book, the first chapter of which has already changed my life. And it's in that vein.
Okay.
Because I think I've been discouraged in my own life and in the spiritual life, thinking like, when am I ever going to get to the bottom of my like brokenness? When is this going to stop hurting so much? When is this going to stop being so close to the surface all the time? And then I read this book and it was one page, in fact. I guess it was the culmination of the whole chapter, but I've sent this one page to like five people because I think it's the key to healing and understanding that like your big emotions don't have to go away and that we carry these like deep psychological wounds from childhood, but we can choose virtue. We can choose how to act in the face of those big emotions. And I think I have waited for years for those big emotions to tamp down so that I could choose the right thing. And I think I had courage for the first time to understand that the big emotions don't have to go away, that actually they are a gift from God and not that the pain that was caused, man, we could get into some weeds here. Even the pain, you know, has like allowed me to be united with Jesus in his suffering and for him to come even closer to me because I've known deep suffering. Anyway, I have hope for the first time that like my big feelings and my like deep pain aren't the enemy, but that I can live like a beautiful life and I can choose virtue and there's grace to overcome, you know, choosing in the moment how to respond. Because let me tell you, therapy, like my prayer, my own things, nothing's quite worked. I don't need to read my journal to you, but.
Speaking of journals, I was going back and watching a Q&A where we talked about prayer journals.
Friend, I saw there's something premiering on YouTube about prayer journaling. I'm like, I'm on the thumbnail for that. What is that?
Buckle up.
What? It's a Q&A?
Yeah. I just clipped it out.
That's cute.
It's really cute.
What do we say?
Well, it's very funny because you say, I'm not going to read my whole prayer journal to you.
No.
On camera.
Oh, man.
So that's funny that you said it just now.
Well, sticking to it.
Yeah.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
It sounds like the Lord's doing a lot of healing in you, BD.
Oh, for sure.
But it's maybe not as fast as you, as all of us hope.
Jenna, 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. I am marveling at the patience of the Lord, which was last week. I'm not trying to be cute. It is unbelievable to me now, you know, being 40, 41, and looking back on these past like 25 years of walking with the Lord. I wanted healing. I needed healing. And I didn't even know the depths of it, but you know, I had some strong feelings and some deep wounds that I was even aware of at a young age. And yet there's like been this patient love and perseverance. There's been a gentleness to the healing. Mm. And there have certainly been moments that were profoundly healing, but even I received like a massive healing grace, maybe like the most tremendous healing grace of my life on the first Sunday of Advent last year. Mm. But it was totally not emotional. It was like the Lord asked me to say yes to something. I said yes. And my life has like visibly, interiorly changed from just saying yes to him. And I even thought later, like, did I like pray? Did I, you know that I said yes, right? Because it was so casual almost. But it's like somebody turned the lights on. It's like I'm alive again. It's bizarre because it was like nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so non-emotional. It was not flashy. It was just a moment after Holy Communion. And my life has changed.
I feel that way about my vocation. Like there are these hidden moments. Like there are plenty of them. There are so many.
Totally.
Opportunities for all of us in our own hidden moments, in our own lives, like the practicalities of our life. And there can be a moment where there's chaos around me and I feel an inspiration from the Holy Spirit to look at what's right in front of me, whether that be my baby or my two-year-old or my husband, and I actually follow that inspiration. I can just be looking at my two-year-old, for example, and I actually, I actually see her. I actually see my life. I think so much of our lives just constantly pass us by and we never actually look at it ever. We're all just going to the next thing constantly. It is this constant spiral that we will never get off of unless we stop and look at what's right in front of us, who's right in front of us. And so I think by even looking at her and like thanking God for this moment, there's profound healing in it. I don't know how to explain it. Healing of my nervous system, healing from anxiety, healing from my need, my self-reliance, healing from the temptation to feel very overwhelmed by my life. And we're given those opportunities all day, but we just keep moving. I don't know how to explain that like feels like the undercurrent foundational truth of my life for all of us. Like stop and look and like recognize that what's right in front of you is given to you by the Lord.
I'm sitting in adoration within because I know exactly what you mean. And I feel like, Jenna, I only am beginning to know what you mean because we took a sabbatical last year.
Yeah.
That was such a drastic shift out of this like hustle, hurry, busy, overscheduled. I shared this. We were praying the rosary yesterday. It was such a simple thing, but I could have gone to a morning mass. I was planning to go to a later mass. And with 5 minutes before mass, I thought I could make it because I literally just walk out my door and I live behind a Catholic church. And I probably would have been a couple of minutes late and I wasn't quite ready, but like I knew I could like hurry. And I just like I felt myself gearing up to like rush, you know? And I just said, I might have even said it out loud. I just said, no, like I'm not going to lose my peace to get to mass. I'm just going to keep my plan and go to mass later. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that was so profound to me, but I think it's evidence of, I used to live in that gear. Mm-hmm. I used to shift into that gear all day, every day at the drop of a hat. I didn't even question my peace. I didn't like that adrenaline and anxiety was normal to me.
You know? I guess that's what I'm getting at is the profound happens in the extremely ordinary.
Yes.
So you saying yes to the Lord in that small thing that felt like nothing.
Yeah.
That is soul changing.
Totally.
And so anytime that we actually follow the inspirations, whether how small they feel, like, no, I'm not going to rush to mass. I'll just stick with what I was going to do.
Yeah.
That feels profound because it is.
Yes.
Because it's changing the trajectory back in line with the Lord. We're back in alignment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. This might be a silly example, but can I tell you something?
Yeah.
So I've been doing these like allergy treatments. Turns out I have some pretty intense allergies, but I mean, whoa, this is a metaphor, the metaphor of all metaphors. I've always thought like, oh, I have some outdoor allergies. Oh, I'm kind of sensitive, but it's not GI and I don't go into anaphylactic shock. So it's like not a big deal, sure. You know? And then I go and I get tested and I'm allergic to everything. I'm allergic to gluten and dairy and eggs. I'm allergic to coffee.
So sad.
Still drinking it, but I'm having a treatment for it. Anyway, so are you hearing that, first of all, that I'm just so used to my body living like inflamed. I'm so used to not feeling good. It doesn't even occur to me that there's another way to live, like not inflamed.
Totally.
So I started having these allergy treatments and there's like all kinds of research about allergies really being a response. Your immune system is simply a response to your central nervous system. So every time I have an allergy treatment, get this, I can't have caffeine. I can't work out. I can't go to the chiropractor within like a certain amount of hours on the front and the back end, because they say all of those things aggravate your central nervous system. They all cause like your adrenaline to spike. You can't eat. You can't, basically you're trying to keep your central nervous system calm.
Got it.
And I'm like, oh, it's just like a whole different way of thinking, like that my central nervous system deserves to be like peaceful and protected.
Mm.
Like that actually takes some effort, that my body, it's like almost reverencing my body and the way God designed my body to work, that I don't always have to be pushing through and like adrenaline pumping and rushing from one thing to the next and eating whatever I want. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's a way of like honoring my own body and my own like health and healing, just to like give myself this protective space around these allergy treatments for my body to heal.
Yeah. How do you think that is analogous? Just was excited to use
I love that,
that
word.
Word.
Yeah. Great use of that word.
To the spiritual life.
Well, I think it's exactly what you're saying. I think we say all the time, but we don't always have the ears to hear.
Yes.
Is that we have to pay attention to our lives.
Hmm.
And everything that you're describing is really just presence. It's why practicing the presence of God, I think that's the title,
yeah,
by Brother Lawrence, is a spiritual classic, why it's a spiritual discipline, why Father Walter Chizik describes the 24 hours of our lives as God's will for us. And we just have to pay attention to our lives instead of trying to discern what's out there or anticipate what's next or look for God's will in our lives. We just actually need to look at our toddler and actually see them. And I know what you mean, Jenna. It's a holy thing to like look at a person and it's like the veil lifts for a minute and you're like, that person, that soul, like reveals something unique about God and is so worthy of love. It's like, it's stunning, but it's so simple and ordinary. It's like it's hidden in plain sight, but you have to be going slow enough to see it, to enter into it, for the Lord to lift the veil. I don't think we need to talk about healing like head on. I actually think there are lots of other things that prevent or make it hard for us to receive the healing that God is always giving.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Okay, I feel kind of this pressure to like bring it around to healing, but yeah, in typical God fashion, we think it's about one thing, but he's like, actually, here's your attention is divided. Your central nervous system is out of whack. you're not getting enough sleep. You're not hydrated. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we want healing. And he's like, yeah, let's just put your phone away and slow down and like take a few deep breaths. That's healing. Yes. You know?
Yeah. Beth and I have been talking recently about just wanting to share more like practical things about life. There was a great question in the app, like share a practical tip on spending time with my husband. I gave a very long answer.
It was so awesome.
Whereas before I would be like, so much to get into to share an answer, but Beth tagged me in it, which I was grateful for. So then I had to answer. And I was able to share like from an honest place. But sometimes I think like this is too practical. Like, yeah. Like this is the truth. Even spending time with my husband is that when he gets home or when I get home, I sit down and I look at him and like reverence the moment of looking at him. But like that's almost so foundational.
Yeah.
That we want a different kind of solution.
100%. I think just to do what I do and take it to this totally other level, yeah. I think this is why people get into New Age.
Okay.
I think they want something super spiritual and yes. other. They do not want the incarnation, which is the simple, ordinary beauty and like divinity hidden in everyday life.
Wow.
They don't want, this is why the angels became demons and rebelled against God, because they could not fathom God, who is totally other, being born in space and time and putting on the flesh and the life of his own creatures. It was so disgusting to them. So I think there's something in us that thinks it's too simple to just do my little bit, look people in the eye, speak with kindness, make my bed every day, tell the truth. It's too, we think it's beneath us to do these little yes. things. We want something really lofty and esoteric, which ultimately we could not attain. Like we can't do it, which would maybe even give us, it would sort of let us off the hook. Yeah, the app for me is a great place for this. I mm-hmm. love the questions the women have, and it's so vulnerable and honest. It's such a protected place that they feel they can share these questions. And someone just said, like, I don't know how to discern what to watch. It seems like everywhere I turn, no matter like show or movie, whatever I put on, is in some way like I have to compromise my values. Like, and I'm probably even saying more than she did. But again, just very practically, I shared my experience of this. I sounded just like you did in your response to the marriage question. Like, I don't do this perfectly, but here's what I aim for. And what I aim for is vigilance. I aim for a very sensitive conscience, and I ask God for purity so that the minute I see something that is offensive to God's purity and the purity that he's restored in me, I turn it off. I don't fast forward or roll my eyes or just say like, whatever, you know, like that's Hollywood, or like I stop. Like I want to have that vigilance. And when I don't, I bring it to confession every time. And that might seem nitpicky to someone, but that's an extremely practical way that I keep my conscience sensitive.
It's beautiful.
I don't do it perfectly.
I was just thinking about Jesus being the perfect human. He is God, but he is also the most perfect human.
Fully God, fully man.
We want the divinity, like the super spiritual. Mm-hmm. But what would it be like to live like Jesus's perfect humanity?
Friend.
Perfect love. Perfect presence of the present moment.
Yeah. Perfect simplicity.
Yes.
Yes. We listened to a talk, and this isn't in the talk, so I don't need to mention it, but he basically said, what was Jesus doing at 24? We don't know.
Yeah.
Because he was living a hidden life and working a quiet life and working with his hands, as it says in, I think, Timothy. And when you look at Jesus's life, even at the Gospels, we are attracted to, and I think here's where this like hits this conversation of healing, like right on the nose. Mm. We want a miracle, but Jesus did relatively a handful of those compared to 30 years of quiet obedience, loving devotion to God and his parents. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not good for the miracles.
Yeah.
But even that grace that I shared, which was a miracle on the first Sunday of Advent, that was totally unimpressive.
A non-event.
Yeah.
But a supernatural
which
event.
Which was a miracle, yes. Yeah. Is because of years of building loving trust in prayer and following the Lord, being formed by him for 25 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He couldn't have given me that grace, and I wouldn't have had the receptivity to receive that grace without those, 30 years of living a quiet life with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mixing analogy. I'm saying like my life was like the Lord's, but do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing little Jesus, like Avila, holding Mary.
Yeah. And Mary's like trying to do the dishes or like, she did this well, but.
Mm-hmm. She just looked at him.
Yeah.
Here's my laundry picture. Jesus is at her feet while she's hanging laundry on the line. Mm-hmm.
It's just so ordinary.
Why do we search beyond this?
Well, for so many reasons.
Totally.
We're prone to the sensational, you know?
Yeah.
Again, this is like fall of Satan stuff.
Totally. The devil's real.
He wants something else. He wants God to be something else than he is. And he wants to be fancy and beautiful and the star and the hero. So do we.
Mm.
You know?
Not to be a downer.
I know. Sorry. I didn't mean to bring it all the way back.
No, it's so true.
I honestly want to keep talking about the beauty of the ordinary because I think that's where our healing comes. I really, really do. I did an 8-day silent retreat at the beginning of 2020, like right before the pandemic. And I was very sick and it was very quiet. Like you would assume that on a silent retreat. But I've done other silent retreats where I was alone. And so the quiet didn't feel that quiet. This might sound bizarre, but it just felt like solitude, you know? Whereas this 8-day that I did was with a lot of other people, but we weren't talking. So the quiet was like very loud. Not because they were making noise. I don't know. There was something about it that was different. I just took walks and was discouraged about and worried about my cough. And my spiritual direction hour every day was extremely practical. And we were talking about things like my finances and dating. And like, it was not fun, you know? I wanted to go and have this like lofty, I wanted to love Jesus and be loved by him and just live in the glory cloud, you know? And prayer was dry. I was discouraged. I was lonely. And again, I took a lot of walks and ate meals and I was confused and discouraged. Like I'd missed it, you know, like I'd missed what an 8-day could be. Mm. And that's wrong. Like that was exactly the Lord wants to be in the ordinary. The real grace of that retreat was like my real life coming together with my spiritual life. Whereas before, I had this like very beautiful, separate, pure love of the Lord. And then I had all of this mess over here that I was embarrassed about and ultimately felt like out of control. Like I don't know how to get out of debt. You know, I was like very afraid of that. And yeah, like his divinity met my humanity on that retreat, maybe for the first time.
Yeah, and the integration began.
Yes, yeah. I'm still drinking from the well of that retreat. Sometimes I look back and it's one of those hidden plain sight moments. Like there was a moment of standing like on this broad lawn as the sun was setting, but it wasn't like particularly beautiful. Mm. It was kind of like a gray day and there was like some color, but yeah, it wasn't spectacular. Again, it was sensibly, it wasn't like really moving, but I just stood and was quiet and sad and felt Jesus standing next to me. But I look back, like I find myself being drawn back to that moment of profound intimacy and peace and quiet and reality and heaven all in one moment that I was totally unaware of in the moment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
the ordinariness of that retreat, I have discovered, was actually very holy. Some of the holiest moments of my life.
Wow.
And I think that's what you're saying about motherhood. The most mundane, ordinary moments of your life are holy. Not only the path to your holiness, but like they are actually holy. Do you know what I mean? I think that's an important distinction too.
That's so true.
Yeah. It's not just about conquering and like dying to self. Cause like that, I think that's one way that people interpret motherhood, you know, almost like it's an obstacle to holiness. And so I've got to conquer it instead of it actually being holy.
Yeah. I'm in my room.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been there in this conversation too. I mean, I'm back on that field right now. You know, I want to go back to like a little gazebo. But in the moment, it felt like very cold and empty, you know, and I felt like all of my poverty. And I look back and I like, I understand all of the expanse of that field and even the dreariness, but also the color of the sunset and just like the isness of the gazebo was God. Not in a weird new agey way, you know, but it was all God.
Do you think we could pray? Just like if all of us could maybe be inspired by the Holy Spirit for whatever that place is, if there is a place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like you're wanting the Lord to light up a place of encounter where he was, where we couldn't see him, or make holy our daily life. What do you?
Yeah, I guess just one moment either. I could do it.
Yeah, I would love that.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you. We place ourselves in your presence. God, I ask your Holy Spirit to move right now. To do what you do best, Lord. To reveal something to us. Ultimately, God, to reveal your love to us. God, I ask that you would light up right now something in our lives that we may have looked over. An ordinary moment, God. God, I ask that you would turn the lights on in that memory. God, I ask that you would help us to see you in that memory. And Lord, I ask that you would bring to mind a recent moment that felt extremely ordinary. That felt like nothing, God. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to infuse it with you. You stand outside of time, Lord, and we can accept your grace from that moment. I just have this image of like a light switch that looks like a heart. It's our hearts. God, I ask that you would turn on the light switch. That everything about our lives the smallest of things, Lord. The mess in our bedrooms. The dishes in the sink. The work right in front of us. The relationship that feels lost. I ask, Lord, that you would turn on the lights there. Help us, God, to settle in to a life that's infused with you. We worship you, Lord, with our yes, with our openness to your movement, to your presence. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Anything come up?
So many things.
Oh, okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I was just remembering, like, changing the baby's diaper. And just, oh, speak of the cutie.
She heard her.
She's like, who, me? Yeah, I just think it's what I prayed about. Like, I want to be infused with the light of the Holy Spirit in my life. I wanted to talk about, like, life going from black and white to in color. But then I was thinking about your dreary day. I was like, maybe there wasn't a lot of color there.
No, but the color was within me.
Totally.
You know, I was thinking, I mean, a lot of things were kind of like moving through my stream of consciousness.
Yes.
Just being with the Lord in that moment. When I was at Seek, I had a conversation with Sister Claire, and she was telling me about the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia called The Last Battle. And I haven't read it. I actually started the whole series last year, kind of let it fall off about halfway through The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I've now come back to it. I'm like through two more books. But basically, she told me this scene in The Last Battle about how, like, the four children, the kings and queens of Narnia, in the last battle, their life in England starts to, like, overlay with Narnia. And they realize, like, life is Narnia.
Wow.
And it awoke something in me.
Yeah.
This understanding that, like, life is heaven. We live heaven here and now. Heaven is hidden in the ordinary in my daily life. But the Lord has to lift the veil, turn on the lights for us to see heaven right in front of us. And Jesus is, this was in the gospel in ordinary time before we began Lent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Like, heaven is just beneath what our natural eyes can see, but it is happening. So yes, on a dreary day, the light of heaven comes through and illuminates it, not just turns on the light, but, like, brings it into brilliant color. That memory now, standing in the field with the Lord, well, really standing on the driveway, looking out on the field, is so vivid, even though it was a dreary, heavy day.
Yeah. Thanks, Petey.
Heaven is real, you guys. Heaven starts now.
Wow. That can be the title.
IYKYK.
I don't know. Tell me.
It could be the title. If you know, you know.
Wait, what?
Never mind. It was bad. I was trying to bring it around. I've got to stop. What is this? I've got to. Oh, right. Wow. That's different.
Thanks, friends.
What a missed opportunity.
See you soon.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.